Good morning, and welcome to the Redeemer's Refuge radio broadcast, brought to you by Redeemer Lutheran Church, One Deer Walk Lane in Charleston, a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Redeemer Lutheran Church, help, hope, and home in the body of Christ. The psalmist writes, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. This speaks to the hope God gives us amid the struggles of life. When life storms blow around us, our Redeemer, Jesus, gives refuge in the mighty fortress of our God. We pray this broadcast will remind you of that beautiful truth today.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord, our King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for this third Sunday of Easter is the Gospel of St. Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 44 through 49. Then Jesus said to his apostles, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Every day, at exactly the same time, Margaret would go to the bathroom cabinet, open it, and take out a huge bottle of castor oil. Then she would head to the kitchen to get a tablespoon. At the sound of the drawer opening and the silverware rattling, Patches, her Yorkshire Terrier, would run and hide, sometimes under the bed, at other times in the bathtub or behind Margaret's recliner. You see, someone had convinced Margaret that Patches would have strong teeth, a beautiful coat, and a long life if she would give him a spoonful of castor oil every day. So, as an act of love, every 24 hours, she cornered Patches, pinned him down, pried open his mouth, and poured a tablespoon of castor oil down his little doggy throat. Neither Patches nor Margaret enjoyed their daily wrestling match. Then one day, in the middle of their battle royale, with one sideways kick, Patches sent the dreaded bottle of castor oil flying across the kitchen floor. It was a momentary victory for the canine, as Margaret let him go so she could run to the pantry and grab a towel to clean up the mess. When Margaret got back, she was utterly shocked. There was Patches licking up the spilled castor oil with a look of satisfaction only a dog can make. Margaret began to laugh uncontrollably. In one moment, it all made sense. Patches liked castor oil. He just hated being pinned down and having it poured down his throat. Well, beloved, welcome to the world of witnessing. Now, among the several terms that the risen Christ used to define the major task he was committing to his church was that of serving as a witness. He defined his strategy for bringing the world to faith through the witness of his disciples. Jesus said as much to them and to us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The formula of Concord says this: without any doubt, God also knows and has determined for everyone the time and hour of his call and conversion. But this time has not been revealed to us. Therefore, we have the command always to keep proclaiming the word and trusting the time and hour of conversion to God. And so, we find the activity of the apostles described in terms of proclaiming the word. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Many of us Christians are confused about being a witness. But it is interesting to note what our Lord did not mean by this commission. He did not mean that we are to be his debaters. While the dialogue of the apostles did take the form of a debate at times, they were not primarily debaters. Jesus did not mean that we are to go out and be his complainers. Although at times the apostles were critics of the status quo, their fundamental message was not that of giving voice to a complaint. Our Lord did not mean that we should go out and be his condemners. Some self-righteous people like to condemn others and find fault. While our Lord and the early church did not approve of everything, their major emphasis was not condemnation. God did not send Christ into the world to condemn, but to save. We need not worry. God will have his day of judgment, which makes our witness all the more urgent. Our Lord did not mean that his disciples should go out and serve as his advisors. Many people think of the word as being, well, good advice, when the reality is that the gospel is good news. Witnesses for Jesus Christ share the good news of what God did through Christ for his church and for you and me. The major impact of our text is that Jesus' apostles were eyewitnesses of his ministry. With their ears, they heard his words. With their hands, they actually touched him. With their eyes, they had beheld his sacrificial death on the cross. They saw the empty tomb and witnessed his living presence after his resurrection. They were eyewitnesses to the great redemptive acts of God in Jesus Christ. In this sense, they occupied a unique place in God's work in the world. Now, the basic concept in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is that the apostles were to verbalize that which they had seen and heard in the life of Jesus Christ. It was not enough that they be good eyewitnesses. They were also to be voice witnesses. As the saying goes, preach the gospel at all times, and because it is necessary, use words. If you and I, if we are to be good witnesses to Jesus Christ today, we must recognize that we do not have the opportunity of being eyewitnesses, but we can be voice witnesses. It is not enough that we live a good life. We must also verbalize the good news of what God, by his Holy Spirit, is doing to us and in us through faith in Christ Jesus, in how he continues to come to us and be present in word and sacrament, forgiving our sins and strengthening our faith. With their lives, the apostles bore testimony to the presence of Jesus Christ within them. The unmistakable transformation in their lives that came by faith in the living Lord gave authenticity to the message from their lips. And more, the Holy Spirit worked through the Word, which is living and active. And as Jesus said, his words are spirit and life. And as we heard last week, the apostles testified to the Word of life. Today's Christians do not have the opportunity of giving exactly the same kind of witness as did the apostles, yet we are still called to be witnesses to the work and the person of Jesus. First, this is not a spectator sport. That is, we cannot effectively share who Jesus is and what he has done for the world and for each of us from a seat in the bleachers, or dare I say it, from the pews in a church. I'm reminded of a story of an older Christian woman who was a cleaning woman in an office building. She spoke to as many as possible about Jesus, and at one time began witnessing to a wooden Indian in front of a little drugstore that was across the street. When she was told how ridiculous that looked, she answered, "Well, my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be, and I guess that's why I made this mistake. But this isn't nearly as bad as the wooden Christians who don't speak to anyone about Jesus." And so, secondly, as we participate in the life of Christ and his church through our baptisms, we can offer testimony to what Christ is doing in each of us and in the church now. As we steep our lives in the active and living Word of God, the Word of Life, we are promised that the Holy Spirit will give us the words needful for the situation. Third, we can give witness as commentators. That is to say, again, steeped in the wisdom of the Word, we have a good word for the situations that friends and family face. We as the church can speak to the things that God is doing in our community and in the world. And as St. Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And so as his beloved children, we greet this world with the good news of Jesus, that people would be reconciled to God. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you for giving us a brief moment of your day. Our prayer and hope is that the message of the good news of Jesus Christ will have a positive impact for you as we at Redeemer Lutheran Church endeavor to be help, hope, and home in the body of Christ for all whom we meet. We invite you to come and receive the Lord's blessing through word and sacrament as we gather on Sunday mornings at 10:45 for our worship service. We're located at 1 Deerwalk Lane, just off the Paula Road exit on Corridor G. You can find us on the web at RedeemerWV.org and on Facebook at Redeemer Lutheran Church WV. Thank you, and may God bless your day.